This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman. We know Bayside.
Good morning, Torsten Casper.
Good morning, Eddie.
How are you today?
Fantastic, thank you.
Sammy Gayman, good morning to you.
Good morning, Eddie.
How are things in the office this week, gentlemen?
Well, it's been humming, Sam, hasn't it?
It has, Torsten. We're very busy. Lots of great campaigns, aren't we?
Such a mixture of stock. There's so many great properties that we've got across the board. We've had some excellent sales in Mount Martha, Safety Beach. We've had some wonderful campaigns in Blackrock and Beaumaris. Elwood is just, well, it's the mecca at the moment. Everyone's coming to Elwood at the moment, so we're very busy there. And Port Melbourne just continues to actually impress. That team should be very proud of themselves. They're sitting at about 98% success rate for the entire year, Sam.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And the capital growth for our clients in those suburbs has been pretty extraordinary. In fact, I think I saw a letter that you were passing out to some clients, Torsten, about Mount Martha growth. Been about 10% recently.
It has. Wow. It's been just over 10%. And in fact, we're hearing from clients that are just suddenly, all of a sudden, aware of where the market, the economy and so forth is. And then any pleasant surprises when we haven't spoken to them, or they haven't had an update valuation for a few years.
Yeah.
And when they actually hear how much the growth has been in that last 18 months, Sam, they've been quite surprised.
Well, they have. To give you an example, we just recently sold a period property that sold in 2012 for $1.2 million. Then they put in a new kitchen, sold again in 2014 for $1,480,000, and
nice.
It's just sold after having a new bathroom for $1,933,000.
So, Sammy, that's 733,000 in about 4 years.
Yes, it's incredible, Eddie, and it's been great time for many of our vendors. So we're seeing a great spring. We're really looking forward to a busy November, that's for sure.
Well, November traditionally is pretty busy. How about December, Torsten?
Look, it's a really great question, and it has been traditionally in Bayside a very, very strong month for sales.
Mm-hmm.
We actually talked about it in our sales meeting this week. Last year we had 26 sales in December, of which we had 20 of those 26 campaigns, 25 sold in the month prior to Christmas.
Yep.
We had one pass in prior to Christmas that then sold between Boxing Day and New Year's Day. So we had 26 out of 26 sales. And the reason for that is
does that include the New Year's, the Christmas Eve sale?
Well, the Christmas Eve sale, Sam and I are 11 years in a row.
Yes, I know.
So
hence the question.
And in fact, of that 26, Eddie, in answer to your question, three of those sales were on Christmas Eve. So.
Goodness me.
So December is an incredibly strong month, so don't feel you've left your run too late. If you're thinking of selling in the next few months, or as I say, whether it be, and you're sort of weighing up whether to go before Christmas or early in the new year, December is an incredibly strong month because you've got pent-up demand, people wanting to tick that box. They've made a decision to go out and buy a house. They're needing to either downsize, upsize, or get into the property market.
Mm-hmm.
They want to tick that box before Christmas. So if you are thinking about it, you've still got 4 to 5 weeks to go. We also do run shorter campaigns at that time of year because there's less competition in December. And we also run, which as you know, we love our Twilight auctions, and we've got one booked already, and we're really looking forward to that.
Yeah, because really we've got 7 more weekends of possible auctions, Torsten, before the end of the year. So the Twilight auctions are going to be really important this year.
Gents, we need to take a break, but have a think about this over the break. Speaking of buying and selling, especially in this time period, contracts, how complicated are they?
Great question.
This is The Real Estate Show.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman, We Know Bayside.
This is The Real Estate Show. All thanks to Chisholm and Gayman, We Know Bayside, 95311245. That's their number, 95311245, for all your real estate needs, whether they be residential or commercial, property management or sales. Chisholm and Gayman, if you're calling from interstate, pop an 03 in front of that number. Internationally, our country code is 61, then 39531-1245. TK, 4 offices, where are they?
They're in Mount Martha, Blackrock, Elwood and Port Melbourne, Eddie.
I asked the question about contracts before the break.
Look, it's a really good segue to one of the things we wanted to focus in on today, and that is that obviously when you're buying properties, you're going to be asked to sign a contract, and we've had a few questions from buyers over the years. And
I've actually got that coming up.
And it's a, well, you have.
I do.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
5 weeks away.
Absolutely, yes.
So we're wanting to focus in on just some of the pertinent parts to look at. Importantly, a part of most contracts, if it's an auction contract, it's very important to actually understand that if you are signing 3 days prior to an auction or on auction weekend and 3 days after the auction weekend, that that is an unconditional contract. So that's the very, very important difference between a private sale contract and an auction contract, Sam.
Yeah, so effectively it means that you need to either have your finance in place or you're taking a calculated risk because you're not getting a chance for a three-day cooling off period. So once you sign that contract within those auction conditions, you're really locked into the performance of that contract and you're going to have to meet the obligations of that contract. So if for any reason you are unsure, it's really important that you know that you committed or that you've done your due diligence in advance. And always a good idea to have the contract checked by a conveyancer or a solicitor.
And that cooling off gives you 3 days in which to get a commitment from the vendor to commit at a price. And often you'll find buyers will then do their secondary due diligence because you hope they've actually made the commitment on the basis they're feeling fairly confident, but it just lets them tick those final mortgage boxes off or detail boxes off.
What would make a person cool off?
Well, it could well be, and there are two areas. One, you have on a contract the ability to have a subject to finance,
yes,
and you can also have just the general cooling off period. So there's no, you don't have to give a reason to cool off. You just got to make sure you do it within those three business days.
Sure.
And
do you find that Bayside people cool off often?
Look, it doesn't happen regularly. As I say, most people go into it with the best of intentions of signing a contract, having already done the homework.
Sure.
But often there can be a time period where there might be another offer coming in and they're not quite ready and they want to get the commitment and that they'll sign a contract at a higher price based on the ability to make sure they're able to have their solicitor check all the bits and pieces in that 3 days.
Sure.
Yes, Eddie, it is quite rare, though. I mean, in 15 years of selling, I've only had about four properties that have cooled off.
So you're not going to a real estate agent not to buy a house?
Yeah, that's right. You're generally committed. I mean, the only thing that might perhaps persuade you to cool off is if you discovered something in the documents that were unclear.
It might be an anomaly.
You didn't realise there was some part of the property wasn't on title or if there was an easement that you realise was there. Perhaps you hadn't done all your checks, but it is very, very uncommon because, as Torsten said, when people get to the point of putting pen to paper, they've made that mental commitment and that step towards
and they've
the
done
purchase.
Their due diligence.
In the main. And as I say, sometimes it can just be that timing is being rushed because there are other parties. Other aspects is that they just want to make sure they secure the property to prevent others from buying it. But certainly after the break, we can also talk about the finance clause, Eddie.
This is The Real Estate Show.
This is The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman, Weno Bayside.
Torsten.
So within the finance clause that is in all contracts, if it's at an auction, as we've said, that is an unconditional contract, so that would be struck off. But if it's a private sale or perhaps a post-auction sign-up, which is 3 days after the actual auction, say on the fourth day, which would be a Thursday, mm-hmm, after an auction, that you can reinvoke that finance clause. And often it'll be buyers that have got the pre-approval but just wanting a final sign-off or waiting for the documentation to come forward for them. In general, we tend to find that the request is anywhere between 7 and 14 days to actually have that finance approved. Obviously, if it's approved within that, you can bring that forward. So if you happen to ask for 7 or 8 days and you get it in 4 days, well, then your solicitors will send a corresponding letter to the vendor side,
mm-hmm,
and that then becomes an unconditional contract.
I heard something during the week that generally the banks like their 14 days.
Look, it depends on the time of year. At the moment, it is a very busy time, and as we know, a lot of the banks last year reduced their resourcing to the broking sector. So it's really just resources allocated to an oversupply of applications. So, yeah, the time lag does get longer at this time of year, whereas in June, July, when there aren't as many sales,
mm-hmm,
the timeline is a lot quicker. So, but we're tending to find that we haven't had anything beyond 14 days, and it seems to be sitting between 10 and 12 before we get a response for our clients.
Sure. Yeah, that's right. A typical finance clause, it's a standard clause that'll sit within a contract, requires you to nominate who you're going to be going to for the borrowing of the money. So it asks you to put down your lender.
Yep.
It asks you to put down a loan amount, so to stipulate an approximate amount of what you're loaning. So let's say the property's worth, to call a round even number, $1 million. If you're borrowing 80% of that, then you'll be borrowing $800,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would put that down as a loan amount. And then the amount of days that Torsten talked about before. There are some conditions that form part of that clause. And one of them is that you can't be in default in any other part of the contract in order to have the subject to finance. So with a subject to finance, you have your certain amount of days. If you don't get the finance, the deposit monies that you pay under the contract are refunded to you unless you're in default of any other condition in that contract, i.e. if you signed a contract saying that you had to pay the deposit by a certain date and you didn't fulfill that obligation, then technically speaking, you've actually voided the contract in terms of the subject to finance.
Right.
So you need to make sure that you're ticking all the right boxes and just doing everything. If you said that you're gonna, if you agreed to pay a deposit by a certain date, to make sure you fulfil the obligation.
Sure, Torsten.
So and as Sam has said, what some vendors will look at within that contract and that finance clause is that percentage. So for example, using Sam's example of $1 million, if the borrowing for that was $950,000. And there was an offer perhaps for $980,000, which didn't have a finance clause initiated in the contract. Some vendors will choose that because of the certainty, as opposed to a 95% loan-to-value ratio. So they're an important aspect.
Aren't the banks reducing that loan-to-value ratio as well?
Eddie, as we discussed a few weeks ago, that prudent banking policy change in the last 6 months has really seen a lot of brokers guiding their clients to actually have a far greater deposit, and that ratio is certainly expanded over that duration.
And they're also looking at the capacity of making sure the serviceability is on, say, around 7%, even though the rates are sitting around 4%.
Anything to leave us with, gentlemen?
Yes, so the other really important aspect with the contract, and we, as I say, there's almost a whole other show in this, but is to make sure you do check, that have the title checked. So for the dimensions, make sure that you understand if you're planning to buy a property for an extension, to make sure there's not an easement that runs through the middle of the property that would preclude you. And often that can be, in many cases, it can be a Melbourne Water easement that is there that won't allow you to dig too deep or have a basement because it affects the actual water line.
Yes.
So from that point of view, you want to make sure that you understand what the requirements of that are and where that sits. And the final note is just to see if there are any covenants that apply to the property as well.
And that's where we've got to leave it for this week.
We do. And I'll be cheeky, heritage overlay as well, Eddie. That's another one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Hope you're back a winner on Tuesday, guys.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll do it all again next week. This has been The Real Estate Show.
The Real Estate Show for Chisholm and Gayman, Weno Bayside.
Wherever you go, say hello.